Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports, live from Las Vegas. September 14th already, oh my god. It's like 101 days to Christmas. Sorry to ruin it for everybody.
You're getting something for Christmas, I guess.
Start Christmas shopping now.
Time is ticking.
Hosting along with myself tonight
is myself.
Not Gary right now. He actually had to run and do a job, so you know, you gotta work. You got to make money, you know.
Yep.
And I think it was easy money, so he's like, I'm going to run, take care of this, and come right back. So we'll see if he makes it. We'll see how easy of money
it
is.
Yeah, no, it's one of those. You know it's easy. Just take me 20 minutes, and I'll meet you guys there.
Yeah,
and then you break something.
Right.
Then you can't find
the lugs
tool.
Are rusted. And
yeah.
Oh, I left that at home.
The tool's in the shop. It's in the other car.
Right. Yeah,
no, all it takes is that one rusted bolt.
Exactly. It's the last one, too.
It
breaks. Like, now I got to. What am I going to do now?
So you're tapping it out.
Yeah,
that's how those jobs go.
Yeah, exactly.
Always.
So we'll see. We'll hear the story when and if Gary makes it back. Of course, I don't know.
I'm just here.
We call you all kinds of stuff. I don't know. What would you want to call him, Kyle? Just Matt?
Matt?
I don't know.
Matt the bald guy. I don't know. Just the guy who hasn't been in a race car for 2.5 years.
What did people call you in high school? Did they call you anything like a-hole or cool man?
I was in the middle, because in, you know, totally honest, so like in middle school, you know, 7th and 8th grade, I was kind of on the nerd geek side, so
okay.
I did get kind of picked on. And then over the summer between 8th grade and freshman year, I've added the word to my vocabulary. So then going to high school, I didn't have a problem because all those people that, you know, used to make fun of me, I just, you know, attitude. And
so you were the nerd with an attitude.
Yes. What it is. The high school that I went to had a big vocational program because we had two campuses, east and west, that covered like 10 different towns. So they shared the resources. So I had all vocational. I took all vocational classes.
Cool. They should have more of that, by the way, because right now, you know, going to college and things like that, you don't really seem like you get anything out of the colleges.
There is still stuff now,
right,
that I will do, and my wife will be like, where the hell did you learn to do that?
Right.
I'm like, sophomore year.
School, yeah.
Because I had welding. We did welding, casting, all that.
Wow.
I had metal shop, so you learned all the machines, all the materials, wood shop, auto shop. I did electrical, electronics, like electrical, we did home wiring and house wiring and, you know, appliances and all that, you know, take apart the dryer, put the dryer back together. Like, we did that in high school. That was high school.
Wow.
Cool. So you learned a bunch of stuff, but mastered none of them? Or?
Well, no, and then I was doing that plus computers had just started.
Right.
So then I was doing, like primitive robotics and computer and stuff, like I was right there when it started, when the school's like, hey, we have this and we don't know what it does.
Right.
And, you know, you put two or three of us and we just sat there and played with it and, like, figured out how it worked.
That's cool.
Which got me the job out of high school. I was working for Reuters. Like, if anyone knows, Reuters is the biggest news agency. But at the time, they started as a trading company.
So that's where they got their liberal views. I'm just kidding.
Attached to the stock market trading system.
Yeah, they changed since. I mean, that was probably a couple years ago.
it was 1988 that I was building trading systems
for the
stock market and banks and World Trade Center and like all.
Well, that is neat.
So
we'll call you Freak 33 Matt Esposito.
Yeah.
That's all I was asking. What do we call you?
Just call me that guy.
Okay. Of course, great show for you tonight. Kyle Jacks, appreciate you coming in.
Thanks for having
me. What was your number again on your modifies?
41.
The number 41 602 mod, and we're going to find out more about that because your guys' season locally come to an end.
Yep, it's coming to an end here pretty quick.
But there's a lot of racing still out there in the 602 mods.
Yep,
still
there is.
Available, so, but we'll get into some of that. But Drew, go ahead.
I did read a scary article the other day.
Oh, no. Scary.
So, apparently, Tesla and another company have built electric motor. It's an actual crate motor.
Oh.
It bolts right up to the small block V8 mounts.
Oh, nice.
And attaches right to the drive shaft.
You know, there are some kits out there. There are some kits out there. Not this, but there are some kits, like electric vehicle kits you can turn most or a lot of vehicles into an electric vehicle. There's some work involved, but that's crazy they're getting into
this
it.
This is
kind of cool.
This is great. It gets, like it mounts. The motor mounts are, like, right in the right spot. And then they said that the battery pack is custom based on what vehicle you're putting it in. So
crazy.
You can pull out that old El Camino and make it electric.
We're going to see the Tesla mod series soon. All battery, no noise, be quieter than anything you've ever heard.
I would say that it would probably happen, but there's no way to get around the safety of it. Because, like the NASCAR, going 200 miles an hour and wrecking, they're just going to be balls of flames.
Well, yeah, but short track, though, you know.
I still think that it's a higher risk, so I think we're still safe for a while.
Just like fuel cells, though, I'm sure they'll learn how to encapsulate that better as time goes on. And pretty soon the only noise we're going to hear, like when we're little kids making engine noises with our little cars.
Yeah, the Tesla sounds.
That'll be part of the victory circle. What's your best winner circle noise? your engine noise. No, that's, you know, it's not far-fetched. You know,
a separate series, I think it'd be cool.
Well, and
take over current series that's running. I'm not.
Well, we've talked about like different vehicles that street stock stuff you don't see in junkyard and stuff anymore. So that stuff gets faded away, and then we start seeing other things take its place, like the Hornets and like even the mods. You know, the metric clips, that was a big thing for a long time, and you can't even find some of those now. Now you're having to go to full fab chassis, which a lot of mod series are starting to go to, even though they follow the same specs as, let's say, a metric clip or something, you know, something like that. But, you know, you have to make do. You know, the stuff's not out there. You got to do it. You know, speaking of like the battery race vehicles or even engines, they do have, and I mentioned it before, I seen it on TV. It was, I don't know if it was IRL or Formula, but you have a lower tier all battery race car. It's an open wheel. I don't know what they call
like
it.
Like Formula.
Yeah, Formula.
Three or E or something.
Right.
Something
Formula,
like
maybe E or something like that. Yeah, and it's really weird to watch. It's cool because you can see their torque when they step on it.
Yep.
And I even mentioned, like, the audience can, I don't know how it was or how they voted it in, but you can give a driver boost. Or, you know, I don't know what they call it. They call it something
else.
Really? But yeah, you can
like Tron.
Yeah, almost like TV. You know,
that's kind of cool.
Yeah, so it's weird, right?
Like, the concept behind it is really cool. But you can throw 10 Teslas out there right now, and they will all do exactly the same thing.
Not really. But you would think they would. It's like any spec series. Nothing does the same thing because drivers are different.
Exactly. But, I mean, they would all have
people
the same torque at the same
visit
time.
The gray areas of rules different.
Yep. Sneaking an extra battery pack.
Exactly, right.
Eventually.
Take some battery out.
Move on the autopilot.
Yep. Lighten the paint.
Yep.
You know, there's something that somebody's going to do.
Oh, yeah.
Could you imagine being in the pace lap? Okay, one to go, and you're, like, trying to find launch mode.
Right, exactly.
Launch mode, hurry, before we get to the restart zone.
We laugh now, but when Kyle's your age, he's going to look back and be like, hey, we talked about this. I can't believe you're doing it right now. No. You know, it'd be cool. There's some good, cool things about that I see, but there's also, like, man, I don't want to see change either.
Take away from the.
So yeah, here's a prime example on a smaller scale. I don't know if you've ever been to Fast Lap when they used to be around the go-kart.
Yep,
gap,
I have been there actually.
You know, and then of course pole position popped up, and you start going over there. It's all battery, of course, it's enclosed, so there's no fumes or exhaust.
Yeah.
So now they get, so they can air condition the whole facility, so it's more comfortable. They're more consistent, you know. So if you know, by that situation, though, that, you know, you see a difference between like the fuel, you know, parts versus a battery, and which ones do you like? I mean, I like them both, but
I say I like them both too. I mean, electric ones, you got to worry about the battery dying.
Right.
So like.
And you can
like,
feel it, too, when you're out there, you're like, oh, man, this one's fading, you know.
Are you going more for fun, or are you going for practice and technique?
Well, you know, they have.
I think if you're going for practice and technique, the gas-powered ones would be more reactive,
right,
would be my guess.
Yeah, it'd be more like.
But you still, like, would have the same situation. You watch and be like, oh, man, I'm going to get that number 7. That one's fast tonight or something
that,
you know. Then you get in it, it's like, well, maybe it wasn't as fast as I thought. I want the number 8, you know, or something. But yeah, you kind of watch and then see which one you want to get in. But I miss that, because you don't get that anymore. I guess there are some, you know, karting places that have the outdoor, you know, the fuel.
I think everyone's just buying razors and going out to the desert and doing it for themselves. So screw the go-karts. Let's just,
Those are expensive too. It sounds like fun, but we did lose, during COVID, I think we lost a lot of teams and drivers and people going fishing and buying boats and campers.
Deliver on Saturday, if I end up going like up north by like farm and all that, I'll just they're all just cruising across the desert.
Yeah, you know, you see a lot more of that. Of course, because of that, you know, guys are guys. I'm sure there's women too, but it's got to turn into competition. So now they got racing, razors, and they're insane as they are. You know?
I think the difference is it has a second seat. So you can take a girl with you. So you're doing something together.
Yeah. To you. Or vice versa. You drive ride with them and they scare the crap out of you. Or you scare the crap out of them. It's like, yeah, I'm going to go get my own. You know. 5 years, I'll drive mine.
Well, who's going to ride with you? I'll take mom.
I mean, those things are not cheap either. Even used ones. You know, I mean, I just don't have time. When do people find time? I mean, just like you, you're working all the time, and then when you're not working, you're racing. Of course, the race, you got to work on the race cars.
Which is that they're modifying them just as good as a race car.
I know. It's more expensive.
Yeah, I'm looking at all those the aftermarket shocks, and, it's lifted. It's not lifted. It's got air. It's got this. It's the thing.
Almost everybody I know that has one is always trying to keep up with the Joneses. Like, oh, they got the turbo 900. Okay, they got turbo. Oh, they came out the 1,009, turbo. So now they got to go out and buy that.
Bigger turbo, and that. Always something.
I'd be the guy buying like the 400 Polaris little rock climber. That's a four wheeler. Wally Bass is going fat. I just don't. I've been to the dunes in one of those and as a passenger, but that's because I wasn't driving probably, and I kind of got, seasick from it.
Yeah, I say that.
Motion sickness.
I have that issue also, like driving for a long time, even just with my wife, for going somewhere far, Northern California or Utah or whatever, I'll drive for a little bit. And I'm like,
I'll drive.
I'll make it a half an hour, and I'm just like,
It's weird.
I'll just do it.
At least you're focused. You're kind of doing things.
Well, that's just it. I can't sleep because I'm still watching the road.
Right.
So then it's like any little movement, I'm like, what was that?
Yeah. It's hard to sleep in a car.
So it's like, and then she'll be out cold.
So then you start changing the channel to your music.
Yeah. Turn it up just a little bit.
Yep, exactly. Hope she sleeps longer.
No. definitely my father's son when it comes to that. I have my CB. So I have the CB run.
They still use CBs?
I don't know. I have my CB and then I have my radio. So then I have my one earbud in with the CB.
Right.
So then I could just kind of know what's going on right there.
That's funny.
I like that a lot.
Now you get your, what's your handle? Did you make it?
No, I haven't used a handle in a long time.
Well, how are you going to communicate? You got a CB?
Well, my dad was an over-the-road truck driver.
Right.
So then, and then when he would pass through town, but not necessarily have to stop back in town, like on the side of our house, we had like the antenna that came out of our backyard on the side of the house was a good 12 feet tall.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then he has a home base
right,
system.
So,
he
has a strong wattage.
I would be able to pick him up.
That's cool.
You know,
that is
yeah, no, I have cool. to, I have to, you know, run down to Indiana, and then I'll be home in, you know, 4 hours, and, you know. Have to...
So you probably listen to, like, the police scanners and stuff like that, too. You can't do that anymore.
Well, that was my, no, you can't. But, yeah, that's no, that crazy. Was my mother. My mother was addicted to that.
Oh.
We'd go to radio.
Well, she'd listen.
You'd go to Radio Shack.
Your son was going to be on there. Like,
you would
oh,
get a book. No, you would get a frequency book.
Right.
And it would tell you what towns or what, you know, different services give you the frequency. And then you would have to, if we didn't have Amazon, go to, like, Radio Shack.
Whoa.
And
you got to explain to Kyle what Radio Shack is. He don't know what that is.
Yeah.
It's Blockbuster to him.
I was about to say Blockbuster.
Did you go to Fry's before they closed?
Yep, I went there all the time.
Okay. Oh,
so then Radio Shack is like a smaller Fry's.
Yep, exactly.
So if you went to Fry's, if you went into right through the door, you went to that first section where all those electronic components are, and you're like, I don't even know what half of this stuff is. Mm-hmm. That was Radio Shack.
I know. Yep. Did you ever go to Radio Shack? Have you kind of closed before? I mean, how old are you now?
20 now.
You're 20, you know, because you,
yeah,
you're young, but still you're an adult. But it's funny how Radio Shack, you know, I mean, me growing up, it's been a corner store.
Absolutely.
Everywhere I lived, you know. And you know, the biggest thing, they sell those radio kits to make your own, you know, AM, FM radio.
Yeah.
But they used to sell the frequency chips. They called them crystal.
Mm-hmm.
They were little transistors. And you'd have to dig through the little... you know, parts stores, and it would have all the numbers, point, blah, blah, just like your radios,
right,
where you're on frequency, you know, 163.075, you would look for that chip.
You know, it's weird, though.
Wow.
You would think with all the electronics that a store like Radio Shack would get, they used to sell parts, you know, capacitors, resistors,
yep,
and, you know, whatever it took to, but it actually is the opposite. You know, is it just because, like anything else, it's harder to work on circuit boards and things like that?
I think people don't want to.
Yeah.
No.
You can go out and buy it because you import it from China for cheaper.
Yeah, just
buy it.
Place it on Amazon. You know.
I'm boycotting Amazon too.
Even Keysub is kind of, even Keysub has gone kind of more commercial.
Yeah, they're getting that way. Keysub used to be.
They used
more,
to be, yeah, the more industrial type radio show.
Right.
But, yeah, my mother used to listen. So, yeah, I would get in trouble, and she would know before I even got home. You walk into the door and get smacked in the head.
That's
what
funny.
The hell were you doing at the... Yeah, so...
What did your mom smack you in the head for? Anything?
I was always too scared to do something.
Right. You learned from your older brother.
Yeah.
He did it.
I was the older brother. I didn't have that.
So you're the guy.
My sister had a maid. Her boyfriends didn't, but she had a maid.
Oh, man. Anyways, we got Kyle here tonight. Appreciate you being here. You guys finished up your local, the 602 modified series. How'd you do in the point? Were you running for points, and how did you finish in the point?
Partially. I missed like two races this year for, like, we're racing with the Spears Tour one race, and I just took a weekend off because we had like a 5-weekend in a row stint. And I didn't. I was tired.
Right.
But I think I finished fourth or fifth in points or something like
that's
that.
That's really good for missing.
Yeah.
So top five. Cool.
Yeah, I can't complain.
You race this past weekend, right?
Yeah, we did. We, I believe there is one more. I don't know if it's a points race or not, but on the 23rd of September.
Okay. With the Menards Archer.
Yeah,
series.
They raced
the
modifiers and legend cars and
a money race, huh?
Maybe. I think that'd be pretty cool.
You know, they should just make it kind of just outlaw. Hey, show up your modifieds. Do whatever you want to it.
Yeah. Run with your brung.
Run with your brung. Yeah, there you go. You know, maybe some of these guys would shake some of their mods that are sitting there with the 383s in it, 406s or something like that, you know.
I remember when they used to have the bomber breakout races. They did that one year. They're like, run, you know.
Just bring it.
Bring whatever as long as you run
right
above 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Some dude showed up with a friggin' dirt late model, I think, or something like
that. That's right, yeah.
And he was friggin' smoking everybody, and then he broke like an axle or something like that, I think.
I know who that is. What was his name? Mark something. Anyways, yeah. You know,
that was pretty
a lot of people don't like the breakout races. I used to like them because it was, you know, you guys used to finish sometimes 5-6 wide.
Yep. I was three, four wide, the whole field right? Just pacing along. It's pretty neat.
You know, I don't know. Me and a lot of guys didn't like it, but I personally liked watching as on the spectator side. I've never raced in the breakout race, but I used to like watch the breakout race because it was interesting to see what was going to happen because you could tell like guys were like on their brakes, like the dipping.
Every time coming out of turn four, the front row would be turning this way and hit the gas a little bit. Yeah, it was always crazy being that.
You know, I mean, a lot of guys said it was dangerous, but I thought it was fun.
Yeah. You had to actually drive the vehicle. You had to pay attention to what was going on.
Well, you could drive as fast as you want. Just don't break out. That's all.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think they used to do a penalty. Like, was it a stop and go
penalty?
Yeah,
you have to stop and finish. Yeah. Stop in the checkered lane there and take off again.
Yep. You know, so if you're way up, you know, front or something like that, then who cares? But
yep.
I used to like that. I don't know.
It was quite the hoot to race in. I'll give it that. And it was fun to watch before I started racing.
Do you miss racing the bombers sometimes?
I kind of do sometimes.
Because the mods seem like they're more, you got to stay more focused. Of course, you got spotters and, you know.
A lot more technical almost.
Exactly. You got more guys invested in it, I guess.
Yep.
Where bombers, you know, you kind of more it's on you, you know.
Yep.
You know, you're just out there. Spooling the tires.
I like them because you could, you know, bump into people. That's what I liked about them. You can lay into people and it wasn't, you know, like last week two guys in front of me were hit, you know, they're wrecking up high and I ducked below to go below them and I touched tires with a 5 car and I was freaking stuck.
Already, yep.
I was my tire was above his roof, so I was stuck. But that's why I like bombers is, you know, it's got, you know,
right,
that bumping aspect, and you could, you know, slide it everywhere, and
right. Well, you know, it's not technically like a touch class, but they do. It is a stock car.
It's more true to what stock
car body. Yeah. So if you hit, you bang, you know,
everybody else to the state line, you know, the cops and everything bumps. Yeah, that's
and like same thing at Vegas. You know, the super stocks. You don't see many of those, but you know that's dwindled down, and of course the bombers even are starting to drop
down. The car count's kind of dropping too, yeah.
Do you know why? I mean, do you any ideas why? You think it's people are tired of seeing the same guys win all the time, or is it a money thing, or just people just bought razors and went out to the heck with this?
kind of the buying razors and getting out of there type deal and, like,
doing other things.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, Gary, he's got two or three bombers, you know, but he's too busy. I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
I've got two or three bombers, you know, but
so we got,
same thing.
We got two of them, but we've had one sitting there for 4 years now just because
you just don't have the time. Yeah.
And if
you did, you'd work on the one that's closer probably to the, you know.
Yep.
So I don't know.
That's a whole slew of factors, I think.
My thought is Vegas would be good if they had a winter series. So maybe – you know, and maybe you offset some of those divisions like the factory stocks or the super stocks for that winter series. So those are kind of more your features.
Yep.
And then you keep your regular series, you know, your regular schedule with your prolates and your mods and, you know, your traveling series and stuff like that that come into town. You know, I think that would be cool. You get skid plates, you know, then every once in a while, even on the regular schedule, you could throw one or two races in just to get the fans knowing, hey, these race in the wintertime also, you know.
Well, especially if you can get everyone in the skid plates to be fully caged, you can run a double feature where your skid plate and then for the second feature, your mini stock.
Yeah,
or mini stock first.
Right.
And then however you finish, the invert and be skid plate.
Or even on an alternate night, you know, maybe the next race, whether it's 1 or 2 weeks later, you could run. Because they have a mini stock. That's why they're so fast in it, because it's really a mini stock. But, you know, but they run that as a skid plate, and they do real well in it. And, but I don't know.
You could totally, make something out of it, you know, make some entertainment out of that.
You know, but you got to make sure, like, if you made those the feature during that winter time, that would, you know, get more guys. You'd probably get guys like, you know, Kyle or Sam. You know, you guys have had a super stock and did real well in them. And you know what? If you weren't working on your mods and stuff, you'd had time to race those. You would probably race all year long and race those. too. You
that's
know?
Actually my plan is to go run Lake Havasu this winter.
Okay.
We still have that street stock.
Cool.
I was going to go run it the championship season down there.
You know, and that's good because, you know, I don't know. I know their rules are a little bit different, but they're not too far off to switch them over. And they always have their national race down there, too. It's like a 75-lap.
Yep, I would
big
say
race.
Usually
that's always a fun race.
Usually New Year's, yeah.
Is it New Year? Okay. That's a fun race. We've raced in it one time down there.
It is fun.
You know, I think we got into to Mo or one of them guys. maybe it was Don. It was Don was racing, I think. Oops, but he wasn't mad. It was a one of, you know, there's like three different vehicles involved in
that.
Yeah,
I was gonna say anything.
But
the big race down there, if there's a crash, there's usually
yeah,
multiple, more than two involved.
Right.
Yep.
But, you know, it was fun. There's a lot of, you know, side-by-side racing, you know, tapping and banging. And, you know, that's what's fun about,
yeah.
you know, that type of race, you know, is, you know, and most of them are in control, even though they seem out of control, especially on a track like Havasu. It's not
yep.
a horsepower track. It's just
yeah, it's a very patient.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's
yeah.
a two-groove track, so you can run an outside groove longer than you can, like, Vegas or somewhere
yep.
like that.
So you can
so.
Hold your line up there for sure.
You know, but I don't know. It'd be cool if you do that. And you're going to do some odd races too? And
I want to try a couple. I'm not going to run like every race they have down there. Because
they have a 602.
Yep, they got a 602 class down there.
Class
too.
That they run. And then I see you got your Spears
yep.
shirt on. Are you racing more Spears races or do they have any more races in the Spears?
Yep, we actually, this upcoming weekend, we're going
oh,
to
sweet.
Roseville.
Oh, cool.
Almost Sacramento. So
I heard Roseville is a fun track. I've
it
never
is.
Been there. Have you raced it?
Yeah,
or
I raced
there?
It May of this year, actually.
Right. You talked about that. You like that track.
It
right?
is.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. And it's, you know, what I like is, you know, turn one and two is not even remotely the same as turn three and four.
Right.
So it always adds that
so you're
twist
constantly
in there.
Changing your driving between the
yep.
two turns.
Yeah,
cool.
Like turn one's, you know, it's super flat and kind of sharp right at the, you know, at the bottom of the track. But turn three and four, it's banked and
oh,
it's
wow.
a big sweeping corner. You know, you got to make big old wide arc and diamond the exit. It's
That's
I
nice.
Like it. It's a very unique track for sure.
Let's see if Gary's doing anything. Maybe we'll get up to road.
It is a haul. It's a haul, though.
That is.
What's that, 11 hours? 11 hours?
I know
something like that.
I know guys go to Madeira a lot, and that's a haul up
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
so
that's 6 or 7 hours.
Here further, yeah, Roseville's way up there.
When we went up this past time, I had a couple little problems here and there, but I think it, all in all, it took almost 13 hours
oh, yeah.
to get there.
Yeah.
So,
That sounds about right.
That was a journey.
Because I know just going up there for business and stuff like that, I think that's like 8 or 9 hours just, and that was south of Sacramento. So,
yeah.
I pull what? Just my cargo trailer to like Watsonville, and that was like 10. And then we went up to San Jose from there, and that was like an extra hour and a half. So, yeah.
That's cool. Are there other guys going to race that you know of? Is it going to be kind of a bunch of Vegas guys at all? Or
I'm not sure if many Vegas guys are going out, but I know usually just the tour regulars will probably
right.
be there. Like C-Court will be there and Doss will be there. And I'm sure a bunch of guys like
that. Yeah, of course. You know, they're the guys to beat.
Yep.
Every
time. Yep.
You know, when you did race, cause you said you did one or two races with them.
Mm-hmm.
Are they doing anything different than the local guys? Are the rules a little different at all? Or,
Honestly, the only difference is the weights in the left side. It's like whether you got to open it in a crate motor. Like
oh, okay.
It's the same thing they got out here. You know, add weights, you got to open motor, but the numbers are slightly different.
Do they allow that in the 602 mods here locally?
Yep, they
oh,
do. Actually, this last race they had, but last weekend, the guy that won that race came from Utah. He had to open motor.
Oh. Did that piss everybody off? Like, oh, hey, man, we got 602s and this guy.
My brother, he finished second or third, and he was like, man, every time I get a run on that guy, he just freaking pulls away.
Yeah, that's
he's like,
that's
I catch
different.
Him in the corner, and he just take off. And he's like,
yeah, that's
can't pass.
The difference, you know. But, you know, and I don't know, the one race kind of grace for the guy and say, hey, come back, either have a 602 or we're going to have to add more weight or something like that.
Right.
But it sucks because that's a tough call because I know you know, Corey's been in that with the, I think it was the street stocks, like, you know, they kept adding weight,
yep.
Kind of a weight thing. You know, you don't want it to be all just about, just because you're fast.
Yep.
You know, that's a tough call.
Yeah, it's always hard to.
But you do want to encourage guys coming in from other towns either.
Yep.
But, you know, it sucks too, because we've had that situation in, like, the late model truck series is the rest of you guys are running for points. And you got somebody that just pops or something like that, just there for that one race,
yep.
And, you know, so it could affect the points race for everybody else mm-hmm. too. So I don't know. That's a tough call, but that's racing. You know, if it was,
yep.
If it didn't have all these,
but at least it is racing.
Yeah.
Yep. That's a very good point.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, at least you're doing something. You're still doing it.
Yeah, I know. Man, thinking back to 2020 where you just didn't know what was happening. That was sucked.
Yeah. As soon as I got the freaking, read the Facebook post of the boring clothes, I was like, well,
yeah,
there it goes.
Right. Well, you know, and I, you know, I mean, the track's been around forever and, you know, the rumors were it wasn't going to reopen. But to me, my thought is you have a super speedway there. That track should never be in jeopardy of staying closed.
Right. Yeah.
Because it shouldn't rely. That, you telling me that big track needs that little track to survive? I don't think so. You know? That should be there for local involvement, for community involvement, whatever
yep.
you want to call it, whether they make money or not at that track.
I agree.
It should run to support the big track.
Yep.
You know?
And we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
Like, look at how many professionals have come out of Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
And have come out of the Bullring, the dirt track,
right.
The road course.
Yep.
Like, how many professionals have come out of Vegas? You should support them. That thing should have, you know, flags mm-hmm. and, you know, placards all the way around it of all the people that came from.
And
it.
That's a good
yeah.
idea. They could have pictures and, you know, placards or something like that. And, you know, I know they do mention it, you know, in some
of, you know, instead of moving barriers around in the parking lot and, oh, we're parking in these four spaces today. And then the race, you'll have three spaces.
That's, you know, you got to see their point too. Like, they got the big parking lot, and if they can make, you know, I don't know what kind of money they make off that. Just to rent out the space, you got to make money too. But
yeah.
at the same time, you got to
support the local.
You have something
there.
That
right.
you know you should be celebrating and protecting. Yes,
it's only been there for how many? You know, since the 80s. You know, so I don't know. I don't know because we don't know what happens internally there.
Right.
But it just seems like the ones that look at it are the bean counters. They don't really look at the history of it, and you know, and maybe they do, but you know, so it's my opinion,
right?
You know, that, you know, they don't look deeper into why it's there.
They just,
you
look
know,
at the business things.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, this ain't making money, or this ain't making enough, or
well,
whatever it is. But
well, I really think TJ and his crew kind of went to them with that and
right.
said, "Hey, like, This is what it is, and we're going to try to meet your expectations." But at least, and they asked for help, which is one thing that, you know, the previous didn't really do. They asked for help from the racers, from sponsors,
well,
that said, "Hey, if we really want to do this, everyone's going to have to pitch it, or at least show up,
right.
show
well,
up and say
you know,
that, hey, I want to be involved."
Right. Well, in defense of the last, like Tim Richter and all of his people, they ran it for how many years? The old way. Things were done their old way. That's just
right.
how things were done.
Mm-hmm.
It just, you know, a number of things, COVID, one of them, you know, the changing of the guards is another, all that, you know, things are different. You know,
right.
things changed. But you can't fault them for doing the things
oh,
they
no,
did.
Oh, no.
I mean, they did a good job for as long as they could with what
yeah,
they
yeah,
had.
Yeah.
Near the end, you know, and I don't know, this is my opinion, looking from the outside in, you can see the struggles that
yes.
they had to try to just to get anything to happen because you have to ask for permission, you know, to do this and do that. I know one of the events they used to have those semi trucks come down and race.
Yep.
And those are really cool.
That was slick,
that was,
man.
I wish
I
they would still
those.
Do that, you know, but yeah, you know, they have to pay them to come down and all that. But they had a truck event out in the parking lot when they had a parking lot, you know, it was really cool. They had semi trucks. They had like the, you know,
the monster trucks.
Yeah, they had all kinds of stuff out there, vendors and stuff, just showing off their trucks. It was really, they had, you know, just all kinds of stuff there. It was, they had like, you know, you could vote for the best looking truck and this and that, but they didn't do it the following year because we were actually gonna have one of our races on that year because it's a truck event. So us being late model truck series, we're going to have it on that night.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Tim, you know, we had his hands tied. He goes, well, guess what? We're not having the event the next year. I was like, why not? That was big. They had a crap load of participants. Well, the in-house, of course, and I don't know. This is just, again, my opinion. Nothing that was told to me. But, you know, just out of talking, they just didn't make enough money on it. So it wasn't worth their time to do it again, you know. So,
which is reasonable, I guess.
You know, it is, but at the same time, look at the involvement. They had a couple of, you know, like, I don't know, Counts Customs guys out there. They had that welder up guy. They had a couple of vehicles out there. They, you know, those guys are, you know,
like some big names.
Big names here locally, you know.
And you didn't take advantage of it. So, yeah, we didn't make any money, but did you have maybe the right people in charge of it? Or you didn't, it was just an event and you didn't want to be involved when if you were involved, you could have really promoted it.
And let me tell you, there was some like semi trucks and stuff that were just, I mean, I couldn't believe how nice they were. I mean, they're just amazing. And there's pickup trucks and stuff like that too. They're really cool. But I don't know. Yeah, to me, that shouldn't have been about money. You know, it should have just been about the involvement that many people were involved and, you know, and they could have, you know, used it for advertising and stuff like that.
Yeah,
they
totally could have.
I don't know.
Maybe develop into something bigger.
Right,
you know,
right. Exactly.
Spend money to make money, I guess.
Yeah.
But
I don't know.
But yeah, no, I think this management kind of opened the door. So we'll see what happens for next year.
Sir, please exit the building.
Please knock before entering. Yeah. How you doing, man?
Hey, while you're up, can you give me a water, please? And these guys, too. They're famished right now.
The man must have finished his mission.
Thank you.
Well,
thanks, Gary.
We're waiting for you, and then we got scared. Oh, where's Gary? Yeah. Well, you missed it. So tell us about your money making
your
adventure.
Mission. Your mission.
Work.
Yep.
Was it easy work?
Of course. I always make everything easy.
Well, you know, and that's funny because, like, you know, because you're experiencing what you do, so you make it look easy. If I went out there and did the same job, I'd still be out there probably, you know, doing stuff.
I think about Gary pretty much twice a week when I drive down the highway and I see the person just looking at their trailer going,
what
do I
don't
know what the hell happened. And there's, like, no tire.
Well, wait a minute.
Or the hub is welded.
And you didn't call him? You should be calling him. Hey, Gary, you might want to drive by. No.
Oh, no. I saw one that was, like, the rim was melted to the hub. Like,
they
that thing was so warm.
Oh, yeah.
They're throwing water on it, and it was just steaming. Yeah.
Oh, that's probably wasn't
the
right thing to do.
I'll leave Gary out of this one.
Right.
You know, I tell you, I had a customer bring their boat trailer on a flatbed, and at 4:30 in the morning it caught on fire in Baker. Wheel blew and it caught on fire, and the fire was getting to the boat right on the right rear, and the customer used his brand new six pack of Mountain Dew to put it out.
So that's good for something.
Gotta do what you gotta do, I guess.
Yeah, exactly right.
Hey, he didn't lose his whole boat. He might have lost a $4
sack of Mountain Dew can save the day.
$10,000 repair. Let's see.
Yeah.
I would have been like, I would did it the hard way. I've been drinking it. I gotta drink this so I can piss off.
I just feel bad he stopped at Baker.
Right.
Yeah, he got robbed in Baker. I mean, he stopped in Baker.
Well, thanks for joining us.
I'm here.
Gary, man on a mission. Say hi to Kyle Jack.
I did.
We got Kyle Jack here.
Good.
Thanks for coming in. I don't know if he told you that. I'm late to this show. So, yeah, thanks for coming in.
Anytime.
Well, he was just telling us about his adventures that he's going to have down in Havasu and the Spears and all that.
Nice.
Yep.
I know I'm late, but you're headed to California, right?
Roseville.
We are.
And because you were late, I committed for us to go watch him in Roseville.
When?
This weekend.
Can I leave now? Can I go wait for him to get there?
I did. I told my dad. I talked to you about it. But
you done talked to me. Let's go.
Bring a sign.
That's right.
For Kyle.
That's right. No, sitting in the stands while he's on the track, I'm going to hold the sign waiting for Kyle.
Well, the problem is we're going to make it a one-day trip. We're going to drive up and drive back when the race is done.
Sorry, yeah. There's room in the back for me to sleep. I'm in. Let's go.
Make it happen.
Let's go.
28-hour drive.
I was going to say, you got 24 hours to get there.
That's all right.
All right,
dude. We got to know. Let's go.
You put it in your route. You put it in maps. And then you do search a long route, Dunkin' Donuts, and you're good.
I'll do the Dunkin' route. The problem with like Waze or, you know, them, we've done that before. Mm-hmm. We're driving through like these neighborhoods down in California. Like, why are we here?
The
map is
yeah.
here.
Oh, no, I mean
we
hood.
Should be on the freeway.
No,
I mean, like, they're going to shoot at us any time.
The problem is, like, over in the distance, we can see the freeway. It's, like, moving. It's like, why come we're not on the freeway? Were you on the bicycle route here? Or what?
Back when they first kind of started, yeah, totally, because I was working for a guy and a speed shop down in Huntington Beach. So I would go. He'd either fly me if it was important or if I needed to carry equipment, I would drive down there. And it was the same thing. It's only 3 expressways to get to the damn shop.
Right.
But no, it would say, oh, detour, this is faster. It would send me off, and I'd be like,
oh, man, I don't care about the 60 seconds faster.
Right. Wait, look back a second. But then you said if it was important, he would fly you?
Yeah.
Can you tell Michael that?
Does he fly to Roseville? Because we didn't meet him this weekend.
No, he actually had a heart attack and died.
Oh, man.
Well, that's because he was spending money on you to fly.
Well, he was spending a lot of money. But the shop's still going because the kid that actually started it and partnered with him, kid started at 18, 19, just racing prodigy. And his big thing was exhaust.
Hmm.
So predominantly he does Porsche exhausts. He can replace your exhaust only, and he can push you 25, 30 horsepower.
Wow.
Just by doing your exhaust, a custom exhaust, without touching anything.
What's the number?
Oh, no, I
need all the help I can get.
I'll just drive right down there. Right.
If it's 3, it's 3 horsepower. I need it. I need all
right.
I can get.
Yeah, no, and it's amazing. And then, you know, they've really, you know, stepped up their game, and they have high-tech equipment now.
Is this guy like SpinTech or something?
No, it's BBI Autosport.
Oh. They do Porsches.
Oh. Will they do Chevy trucks?
They will do anything for money.
And, anything for the right price.
That's right.
He likes the challenge. He likes the challenge of, you bring me this, and, you know.
Well, he don't like the challenge anymore.
Oh, no. Well, Batim is the one that's still running.
Okay. I mean, his challenge is just trying to get out of the ground. But anyway, so Kyle's going to do some racing up in Roseville. Is Sam going to do any racing with you? Or are you guys taking
yep.
a couple of them? Wow.
Yeah, we plan on, me and him both plan on up to this
cool.
weekend.
Have you guys raced a lot together, side by side, or just a couple races?
Honestly, man, this last race was one of the first times
really?
That I've got to, like, race with him.
Actually,
but even
race
then,
with him. Right?
But even then, when I was right behind him getting ready to set him up, he missed turn one and I passed him. But
so you
I was getting a little excited. I'm like, oh, man. Could have used a bumper maybe once or twice.
See, he got nervous around you.
I don't know what happened.
I'm just kidding.
He got scared little brother was going to pass him.
He was overdriving, right?
Uh-huh.
Jeez. Now, yeah, that's cool. I'm glad you guys, hopefully you guys get more side-by-side racing because I think that's something that a lot of families don't get to experience, you know, especially you guys are fairly close in age and all that. Who do you think's got the better car?
Who's got the better equipment?
That's why I'm asking.
It depends on the track, I guess.
Oh, really? Yeah, because I know you're saying one's good at having like a small track.
Yeah,
and the other
like
one's...
We went to Irwindale. We run in the third mile.
Oh yeah,
middle of
inside.
July.
Yeah,
and my car was faster, and Sam was in the points race. You know, he's going for Rookie of the Year and all this, so I let him drive it. And he set pole, and he was running up front the whole time. So I was like, all right, so
that's
be
funny.
It. Car when we went to Roseville last time, he finished like third up there in his car. So
I think you guys should just like flip a coin. Like, so who's gonna drive which one?
They're two completely different cars, but they managed to run almost as
fast. And one of them is an old left-hander, am I correct? Or is it an old knockoff of a left-hander?
Well, it's kind of a Frankenstein now. So it was an old left-hander, and they took it to Chris Bray and had him put his new front clip on it.
The Wazoo clip.
Yep.
Okay.
It was working for a couple races. He won in Lake Havasu one time, and then I just never – it just started falling off and never working again.
Oh, wow.
So they just had off the wall, you know, Charlie Wall, Chuck.
Yep.
They just put a rear clip on it. So it's got Chris Bray front, left-hander center, and Wall back. But it worked. He picked up almost freaking 3/10 this last weekend after that fix. So.
Wow. Well, maybe that's all it needed, you know.
Yep.
The Frankenstein combo.
Yeah, he was saying, like, when he was cutting the – you cut it from the cockpit back, and they're reworking all the pickup points. He's like, every bar I cut it, I'll just boom.
It was like a lot of tension out. Yeah.
Not to mention, like, I think it got like 10 or 20 pounds of sand out of it from sandblasting it. So.
That's funny. Yeah, it's funny because, like, over time, like, when you clip it and things like that, if you don't do it right on the jig or let him, like, certain weld points, if you don't hit him right, it does tweak.
I
you know,
it
has a lot of tension on it.
Yep.
You know, and you don't realize that. And when you're on the track and you put those suspension forces on it, it doesn't load up properly.
Right.
It doesn't take much either, especially in a modified where it's 2,500 pounds or whatever you guys are now.
So that car always had a problem. It would cut from the top into the bottom real nice, but as soon as you got to the bottom of the track, the rear end would just swing.
And that sand was in there on purpose on the left side.
Must have been. Not my car. I can't talk
about it. I'm just a driver. You've heard that in the tech gear? I'm just a driver.
I'm just a driver.
Yeah, you've used that.
He owns the car.
Right. I don't know what it is. I know it's to the rules, but he owns it.
I've heard that both ends of it.
Oh, man.
I just drive.
What did they check for this last weekend? Do you mind me asking?
I couldn't tell you. I've wrecked out.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Well,
Nothing major, I hope.
No, it was just a couple of bent tie rods, and with the way the accident happened is I climbed
up
on top of that guy, and it got on the left rear so hard it folded all the sheet metal in.
Yeah.
And I am 90. I still can't figure it out. But after the race, the right rear spring was not there.
Oh, maybe it fell out before.
I don't know what happened exactly. So we pulled the car in after the race and had it up on jack stands, looked at it. And there's like a bent tie rod in the right front. So we fixed that and all that. We put it on the ground. Things just laid over on the right rear like,
what the heck?
Freaking spring fall out of the pocket or something like that. So we go over there. Me and my brother looking at the car, like, dude, there's no spring. It is not here.
Oops.
Or like, we couldn't decide if somebody was just messing with us or the car was flexed up so much on
that's
the side
funny.
It just dropped out of it. But
meanwhile, one of the other pits, where'd you get this spring from? Don't worry about it.
I got this souvenir here.
So if anybody out there has a 275, 11-inch, I need it back.
Please.
Oh, it might be in that guy's car. If you rode over it.
I'd say it might have came in through the driver window.
Right?
Drive through, except for springs, I guess.
That's crazy. Well, that sucks. It happens because obviously it's an open wheel.
That's something I've been trying to get used to, is not having a fender to lean on.
Right. No, that's a good point because you come from street stocks and bombers and things like that where you can. You know, you can actually use somebody else to get you to turn if you hit them just right.
Yep.
You know, and of course, these, you got Nerf bars and stuff, but a lot of the guys have their wheels either a little past Nerf bars like they shouldn't or in, you know, different locations. But I don't know. That's part of the fun, I guess, in modifieds.
Yep, you got to be very careful.
Who you climb?
Do they check for different things over the last races? Do you mind me asking what they checked for in the past?
Like, they check fuel a lot, and they check, just, like, look at the carburetor.
What do you think?
And they look at, like, I almost think they just go through the rule book and they, you know, pick something, and, you know, it's just random every race.
Right. Would fuel make that much of a difference?
Well, yeah, I guess it could. It depends on...
Like, some people run... E85 or some people run the 110.
Are you guys allowed to E85?
Yeah,
really?
I think so. But we tried it in Sam's car and we could never get it to run correctly, so we kind of backed away from that.
Yeah, you know, it's just
because the lower octane burns hotter.
Yeah, but they I think you guys would probably
run
it,
the hotter,
BP like the leaded 110, which helps keep the motor cool.
Right.
You know, where the E85, you need a bigger tank, you run through a lot more, so
yeah,
you got to kind of set up for it.
So I think it burns through it like 30 or 40% faster than regular.
You know, and you're probably running 100 octane in that at the end. And if you don't run race E85, you could get E70.
Yeah.
You know, so if you get the race E85, you're going to get E85. But, you know, fuel is probably one of the easiest things to check for. Maybe that's why they do that. And they do probably no-go gauges for the carburetor.
Yep.
Well,
so
like
they get that referee thing out. And
they'll
check, like, the front, you know, tire width and things like that.
They check the motor seals and things like that?
Yep. The very first race of this year, they came around to every car and found every single
seal.
If it was a crate motor.
So is that the rule now? Is it 602? It's a GM, has to have a GM seal?
So they have like the stock GM,
okay.
Or they call it a yellow book in the Spears, and it's they have like three certified rebuilders. It's Bill Lowe.
But they're the only ones they probably all use the same
seal. Yeah, and they all use the same seal that, you know, the tour looks over and checks on, and same thing here. They look at all of them. So,
You have your choice, obviously, of who you want to go to as a rebuild for
those. Yep.
Okay. Do you think anybody stretches those rules or can get a better?
There's
obviously, you know, if you don't want to answer,
so there's always a way.
I bought
my engine from Chris Bray for like $2,000
right.
And just threw it in there. It was a killer rebuild, so
right.
You know, he looked at it and he says, "All right." So,
is that what they do? So, if you bought, let's say, a crate, you have to get it resealed by one of the
You have to get it resealed by one of those three, or you have to send it back to GM. I guess I don't know how that process.
And is
works,
that every year? Do you know? I mean, do they?
It's just
have a. Sorry, I'm asking all these questions. I don't know. I'm interested.
I'm guessing
in the
once it's cracked open.
It's cool.
I say once there's a cut seal,
it's
there.
It's open motor. Then you have to go by open
much.
Motor rules.
Yep, pretty much.
Or you have to get it
resealed. They'd have to pull it apart and look at it first, and then.
But I don't know. I would think if you're certified with GM, and you're the only three or four people doing this, like, I don't know if you'd want to throw that away to, you know, start messing around with engines and trying to give people advantages.
Some under the table stuff.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think so. But I don't know. It just seems over the years, you just don't know.
Somebody will find a way.
Yeah. There always are. I mean, you can go online and find GM breakaway bolts, you know, seals, things like that. They're not, you know, exactly, you know, that depends on the tech person looking for that stuff, you know, how good they are, I guess, you know, but they're getting to electronic seals and the technology's getting there. But, I don't know. I'm just curious because, you know, it's hard to tell out there because you got different guys that are always up front and, you know, not to say that they're cheating, but, you know, is it suspension? Is it just their knowledge? Because some of them guys have been racing a long time, you know, a lot of them probably get the motors all from the same place, you know? So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, it might also be a money thing also. Like, if you can have your motor rebuilt every other race where, you know, someone's like, cracks the motor, you know, once or twice a year, if that.
You know, the thing is, though, with the actual 602, man, they're bulletproof.
I say,
there's no need to.
I say, that's bud-friendly.
Right.
And it's like, I bought the motor for, well, I shouldn't say I.
Right, but
Bill
guys,
bought it
right.
From Battleborn. He bought it, and I bought the carburetor. It was another $800.
Yeah. You know, the weekend
$3,000 motor package threw in the car, and it works.
And
it blew out. It blew out the front timing seal, but that's not a lot.
Right, and that's something that can happen to any race vehicle. Mm-hmm. I mean, you only turn 6,200 RPM because you're chipped at 6,200 RPM. The weakest point of a crate motor is probably the valve springs, which, you know, you're running them at 6,200 RPM. They, they're going to weaken and float.
Yep.
But besides that, they seem to be bulletproof.
I'll say they're pretty good. You rarely see one blow up unless they overheat it, obviously.
Right.
That's about the only time you'd ever see it.
You know, back before crate motors became more popular, the Van Gordon motors that we race in the ASA Trucks series are pretty much, to me, I think they modeled, seems like they modeled the crate motor after these Van Gordon type motors because everything's almost exactly the same and they're Van Gordon sealed. But Man, I've ran one for 10 years.
Yeah.
And we just recently checked springs on one of them because we thought maybe it was having a spring issue. But the springs are fine, the valve springs. So, you know, we're only turning 6,000 RPMs probably on that. You know, we're chipped at 6,200 also, but gear-wise, I've always only ran that at 58 or 6,000 RPMs.
I gotcha.
It's crazy. So, yeah, so the motor packages are good. I'm glad they went to that. Everybody in the country has gone to that.
Yep, I was going to say pretty universal now.
When they first started going to that, though, is, you know, I found a motor, you know, for sale one time, and the guy said, yeah, we ran it and all that. But I couldn't find anybody that could reseal it at the time. Mm-hmm. They didn't have that. It wasn't even, you know, an issue yet because they just started coming out with them, started racing them, and then obviously now it's different. But mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, tell us about Roseville. I know we only got a few minutes left, but are you gonna fly up there and do a Jeff Gordon? You're gonna drive up there? You pulling your own car?
Well, we're all flying except for the guy that's driving the truck, but that's because it saves us money. Because I think there's one guy driving the truck and one riding.
Okay.
For four of us to fly up there and back was like $210 for all that together.
That's
so
we might be flying.
You see, he's got the look on his face.
Flying.
So yeah. we did it because it was easier and it actually saved money.
Right.
So
and we're leaving at 8:30 on Tuesday.
Well, when are they leaving? We're leaving now.
Oh no, we'll meet them up there.
Well, that's cool. So you get to relax a little bit when you get up there.
Yeah, it'd be pretty nice. I feel like I'm that guy that's arriving and driving.
You probably feel a little bit of guilt from it, right?
I do.
Because you're used to like working on the stuff, hauling the stuff. Hey, we need to load anything in my truck while we're going.
Yep.
So you probably feel a little guilty, but you don't need to because, you know, you earn the flight up there, I'm sure.
Well, I was paid for without my approval. I was thinking about flying anyways because the drive sucked last time. But
well, you know, and then obviously, you know, you're going up for the weekend and flying back.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing worse than that long drive and being tired and trying to. Yeah, you know, it's a safety issue.
Yeah.
Realistically, you know,
it was but for the 8 hours it took to get to Reno, you know, towing.
Yeah.
And after that, Donner passed from Reno up over the mountain. It was snowing and there was salt in the road. So that was my first time driving in snow, and I had the trailer behind me. So I was
You got to go to the checkpoint and look for logs.
Yep.
Fruit down here, up there, we went through up there, and they stopped to look for firewood. You got any firewood? No.
Interesting.
Yeah. Other than maybe there's bugs or something. I don't know in them, but
that's funny.
Yeah, it's like, well, we're expected, like, egg and agriculture, like fruit flies, they look for fruits and stuff. Nope. You got firewood? What, you need some? I mean, you asking to borrow them? What? No, it was crazy, but anyways.
We left the firewood at home, but we brought our oranges.
Yeah,
you want those?
Yeah, they're full of fruit flies. Don't, you know, we'll shoo those away. What, California, that place?
Yeah.
I know. No, yeah, that's cool. That's cool. What's your next race after Roseville? You're gonna do
The next race is like 4 days later. Here is that.
Oh, the 23rd
race.
Okay.
Yep, and then
Thursday.
And then after that, I believe the next one is Kern County, like October 20.
And you're gonna catch
something.
That.
Trying to. I'm kind of stuck right now because that's the last tour race is at Kern County, and that same weekend is the opener in Lake Havasu for the street stock. So,
yeah,
I'm not running like for rookie of the year this year. I'm just getting my couple of races in. So, part of me wants
one crew drive, and you fly from one.
Well, you know, if you
come on, do a double race,
if you miss the points, then you're better off because your mind will be in it. Hey, I'm not in the points race now, so I'm gonna go have some fun somewhere.
Yeah, I say that's always the other way to look at it too.
Hey, real quick, sponsors.
First of all, Bill with Battleborn Racing and Bill Jr., they're the reason I'm doing the tour this year and racing as often as I am. It's all thanks to them. And the guys behind the scenes, you got Rob, Derek, Brian, Zach, Alan, all these guys, and my brother, my dad, Court.
Man, you guys have a big camp there. So if you're seeing anybody, it's not on purpose because there's a lot of guys I see there, a lot of guys putting in. I mean, it shouldn't find that many people involved in racing.
Yeah,
there's
a lot of guys that make it happen, and they all make it so much better,
right.
All the personalities and everything. So
cool.
Yeah.
Well, what's the best way to find you?
Facebook, either under my name or Battleborn Racing LLC.
Okay. Cool.
Yep.
Cool.
Instagram,
deal.
Anything like that.
We'll look for you. So, Kyle, thanks for joining us. And
appreciate you having me. I always have an awesome time here.
Yeah, well, don't be a stranger. I know you wasn't that long, but we love it as a regular, so keep on coming back. We want to hear about your race. Don't kick to Roseville. We hear about it first. Also, we'll find out if you'll, you know, meet us here again at the next Tuesday on the snap.com. Appreciate it.